For Want of a Cup of Coffee, written by Theology Discography, and read by Flower Parish. This is a Batman All Media Types fic, rated for general audiences, featuring Tim Drake, Dick Grayson, Stephanie Brown, and Alfred Pennyworth. Abridged summary. Tim doesn't have a good night. Sorry, Tim. No more coffee. I'm cutting you off. It's for your own good, Tim. Tim blinked up at Dick's sympathetic frown for long moments, trying to process how no more coffee and for your own good could be used together unironically. But Dick seemed to be sincere, eyes shining with worry. Tim decided that his brain simply wasn't up to understanding what Dick meant by that today, and moved on. You need to go to bed. I was about to, once I got another coffee. This was even true. He'd been almost at that perfect state of relaxation that would let him sleep, and had been in search of the soothing relaxation of a hot drink before bed, rather than caffeine. Not that it looked like Dick believed him. Why did they always think he was lying? No, no more coffee. Come on. Dick took the coffee cup from Tim's hand gently and set it in the sink, returning almost immediately to wrap an arm around Tim's shoulders. Come on, Timmy, he said affectionately, guiding him out of the kitchen. Tim let himself be moved upstairs. It wasn't worth fighting. There was a chance that he would still be able to sleep despite being interrupted, but if he fought for the coffee, he would definitely wake himself up. He clutched his laptop to his chest as they moved towards the bedrooms, just in case Dick tried to take it from him, too. Dick seemed satisfied with him sitting it on the desk to be plugged in and moving to his bed, though. He waved awkwardly from the door once Tim was in bed, then flipped out the lights and pulled the door closed behind him. Tim lay still, staring up at the ceiling, still pondering Dick's strange behavior. He knew Dick worried and wanted him to sleep more, but he couldn't fathom how taking his coffee was supposed to help with that. He sighed as his brain gnawed at the question, spinning in dizzy circles as it tried to track down a logical answer. He tried to get to sleep. He really did. But between the jarring halt of being denied his bedtime coffee and the way his brain had latched onto the question of why, well, it just wasn't happening. Tim rolled over onto his side, fingers tracing absent designs across the sheet, focusing on the smooth slide under his skin. Dick wanted him to stay in bed. Dick was worried. But surely, if he just worked on his computer until he got sleepy again, Dick would never know. Tim hated sitting idle, and knowing that he was supposed to be sleeping just made the urge to move worse. He threw the covers back with a sigh. He put his headphones on and started some music, loud enough that all of his muscles tensed before slowly relaxing. He climbed back into bed, hoping that it would help him sleep, but it only seemed to be clearing his mind more. Figures. Nothing was going the way he wanted it to tonight. At least his computer never did what he didn't want it to, unlike his stupid brain. If he couldn't sleep, the computer was always there for him. He checked in with his friends online, learning that Donna just adopted an admittedly adorable puppy, Sparkle was having car troubles again, and Chris just finished a new knitting pattern before paging over to the conspiracy boards. Tim loved trolling the conspiracy boards, distracting the ones that were getting too close to the truth with some logical, well-placed bullshit, as well as some who were just as passionate, but a lot more wrong. Wouldn't do to only have thoughts about the ones who were right. Someone might notice a pattern in his response rates. These were conspiracy theorists, after all, even if they were just as prone to sharing cute cat pictures as anyone else. Tim pulled up his case files on half the screen as the conversations he was in started to wind down, continuing to argue absent-mindedly on the other half, settling in to work on his open cases. Right up until he couldn't access a file to cross-check his information. After a moment of thought, Tim remembered that the file was locked to the back computer. He closed his laptop and unplugged it to carry down to the Batcave. Tim moved his casework over to the bigger computer and pulled up his friend's chats alongside the conspiracy boards instead. He pulled himself up halfway through settling into the bat chair, moving across the room for a drink. There wasn't any caffeine down here, as Alfred thought that if they had to come upstairs for a late-night coffee, they might be more likely to go to bed, but there was bottled water. He headed over to the fridge that was kept stocked with bottled water, but once he opened the door, he frowned. It was less than a third full. Alfred must have had a busy day today to not restock it. Well, Tim didn't mind helping out. He lugged a flat of water over to the fridge, and then another, before ripping the plastic open and starting to load the fridge with plastic bottles. It took a case and a half to fill the fridge again. Tim balled up the empty plastic and moved to put it in the trash can. Tim slipped on the sleeve of a Robin suit that he'd discarded across a bench after it had been damaged on patrol. He'd meant to put it in the basket for Alfred to inspect and see if it could be mended, but he'd forgotten. Well, Tim could do it, and Alfred had more than enough to do anyway. He gathered up the suit, carefully separating out the damaged pieces and setting the rest aside. He fetched the downstairs repair kit from the nook where Alfred stored it, and sat down where the light was better to sew up the rip. Tim was proud of his sewing skills. He'd never had to learn how to mend his clothes as Tim Drake. The Drake family laundry was sent out to be laundered, and repaired if necessary, once a week. But as Robin, Alfred had insisted that he learn to repair his gear just as he learned to set sutures and splint broken bones. There was no telling what this mission would require of him, and Tim was determined to be prepared for as much as possible. But that didn't mean that his stitches were up to the same standards, though he tried hard. Tim was focused so hard on keeping his stitches neat and even that he didn't notice until he moved it to catch the other side that he'd stabbed the needle deeply into his finger. Tim forced a deep breath as the nerves in his fingers screamed with pain. He pulled the needle from his skin to inspect the injury. "Not bad," he decided eventually, "but it needs covered before I finish." He'd bring back an alcohol swab to clean the needle, too, before he finished mending the suit. No need to get blood on it and risk leaving DNA lying around at a later point in time. He stood, cradling his hand in a loose fist against his chest, and headed for the medbay. It took an irritatingly long time to find an appropriate-sized bandage. Tim didn't know who had stocked the medbay last, but it definitely hadn't been Alfred. Which, while it was nice that someone had wanted to help the overworked old man, infuriated Tim with the lack of attention to organization. Well, it was about time to inventory again anyway. Once his finger was bandaged, he would get started on that, and get everything organized. Tim started pulling bins out of the shelves, rifling through them quickly to figure out what was where, and then started setting them on the medical beds or onto shelves he'd already cleared as he found the boxes that were supposed to be there. Once he'd gone through most of the shelves, he went to grab the resupply boxes, refilling the bins and setting the boxes to the side to return to the supply room. Tim turned, at last, small bin in his hands, only to freeze on seeing that he'd run through all the boxes he'd brought from storage. That wasn't right. He'd grabbed one of each box from the medical section of storage. He shouldn't be out of boxes and still have an unfilled bin. He reached into the bin to double-check what it was and set it on top of the boxes, running to double-check that he hadn't missed the appropriate box. Lidocaine, lidocaine. Tim huffed in frustration as he found the empty space next to the suture supplies. Obviously, this was where the lidocaine had been. Why were they out of stock? Well, okay, they weren't out yet. There was a partial vial that was still more than half full, and one more that was unopened. But still, they would be lucky if that lasted the week with the way they tended to get injured on patrol. Why was there no more in supply? He darted out to the back computer to look at the records. A shipping delay. Tim growled with frustration, digging into the records to see if there was anything he could do that would get it there more quickly. He quickly went from shipping companies back into his casework on a drug smuggling ring he'd been following. From what he was seeing, it looked like the drug runners might be using the same shipping company as they were using to get their bat-related supplies in. That was aggravating. But honestly, Tim couldn't be too surprised. The bad guys knew who was the best too. Okay, so he would go in after hours tomorrow and check things out. Tim was pretty sure they would have the shipment packed up to go out in the morning, so just after closing would be the best window to catch them. He would grapple up to the second story and go in through the window on the catwalk, if his grapple was working properly. His main grapple had stuck last time he used it. Not badly, but it was a sign. He pulled out the grapple gun and a tray, moving to the workbench to start taking it apart to inspect and find out if it just needed cleaning or new parts. As he'd suspected, there was a bent spring. Not enough to cause major problems yet, but it was a problem that was only going to get worse with time. Tim stood, reaching for the drawer holding the appropriately sized springs, when a glint to one side caught his eye. He moved to the storage cabinet next to the workbench, catching his fingers on the unlatched door to examine where the flash had come from. A containment compartment was improperly closed, letting the artifact inside catch the light. Tim hesitated, and then pulled a pair of elbow-length silk gloves from the storage pouch on the inside of the cabinet door, pulling them securely on before reaching out to lift the box from the shelf and carry it to the table. He'd been meaning to investigate it and find out if they could contain it or if they needed to call Zatanna or Constantine, and he just hadn't found the time. Might as well do it now. Tim lifted the elaborate pendant from the box carefully. It was beautiful workmanship. He studied it intently, carefully copying any symbols he found onto a sheet of copy paper. He'd been told he was enough of a magical null that he shouldn't be able to activate anything just by drawing the symbols, and he would burn the paper later, once he'd looked them up. He set the pendant carefully back into the box, letting the chain drape around the side of the box so that it wasn't touching any part of itself until he had a minute to properly put it away. He took the paper over to the back computer, set it on the clear space to the left of the keyboard, absently tapping the spacebar on his laptop to wake it up, and check in on his discussions that he'd abandoned. There was a lively argument going on in the Matching Butts forum, but it seemed to be the only one that hadn't died off for the night. He turned back to the main computer, carefully scanning in the first image. "Tim," Dick called worriedly, as he came down the stairs into the Batcave. Alfred had sent him up to bring Tim to breakfast, and the teen hadn't been in his room. Dick could only hope that he'd managed to sleep some before making his way down to the cave. He froze when he got to the main floor of the cave, earning himself a hard shove to the middle of his back when Steph ran into him. He stepped forwards to let her off the stairs automatically, still trying to take in the chaos. The beds in the medbay were stacked with boxes, trays, and bins placed haphazardly on the shelves. There was a disassembled grappling gun on the workbench, and a partial case of water on the floor next to the fridge, an open containment box sitting on the table, and a Robin suit and mending kit sitting on a bench under the light. Behind him, Steph whistled lowly, moving towards the back computer, and only then did Dick see the small form curled up in the huge chair. Steph ran her hand over Tim's hair, and he blinked up at her sleepily. "Bad night, huh, Timberina?" she asked sympathetically. Tim nodded. "Dick took my coffee," he responded pathetically. "How dare," Steph said, with an imitation of a shocked gasp. "My word," came from the stairwell, and they all turned to look at Alfred, who was looking around with an appalled expression. "What happened down here?" "Dick took Timmy's medicine." "What?" Dick asked sharply. He hadn't taken anything from Tim other than coffee. Steph gave him a condescending look. "Tim has been self-medicating for ADHD with coffee since he was diagnosed at 8. His parents didn't want anyone knowing, thought it would make them look bad or something if Tim was on meds. But a kid drinking coffee is just cute." Her lips twisted with scorn, but she didn't say anything else. "Master Tim, is this true?" Tim blinked at Alfred's deliberately gentle question. "Yeah?" he responded hesitantly. "Why didn't you tell anyone?" Dick asked. "Bruce looked up my medical records. I assumed you knew." Tim looked bewildered. Dick sighed heavily. "Damn it, Bruce." "Indeed." The thin line of Alfred's lips promised a world of discomfort for Bruce if he couldn't provide an adequate explanation. "Come on, Tim, let's get you up to bed." Tim just sighed at Dick's suggestion. "No point," he responded with disappointment. "I'm awake now." "Then perhaps some breakfast, Master Tim?" "Yeah, breakfast sounds good." The end. Podfickers note, thank you to the author for allowing podfics of your work, and for pinging me when you posted this, because I said I was excited for it, because, yeah, I was up until past midnight trying to fix an audio issue, and I needed something to test record, and I did actually very Tim Drake record this podfic while having my bedtime coffee, and I'm about to go crash asleep. Yup. Anyone who tries to tell you that's not how ADHD works just doesn't have ADHD like me and Tim Drake. This was literally perfect. Thank you for writing it. I really enjoyed it. I probably won't be posting this until tomorrow at the earliest, but yeah. Thanks for my bedtime story with my bedtime coffee. You're the best.